He's up and about. Okay. Deep breath. Don't worry. Everything's okay.
Good.
Yeah.
More contests coming.
Okay. All right, Stinks. All right. Hey, everybody. Thanks for being part of the panel this month. And who knows, we'll have a regular question, a formal question next month or two. But thanks, everybody, for being a part of this. And I think it's a very, 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 very exciting time to be involved with video games, especially being part of this show. So thank you all for being a part of it with me.
Yes, it does take more than a scepter to rule.
Bye now.
Bye.
All right, I've been looking forward to this all day. Keith, let's get Walter Day and Billy Mitchell on the line. All right, here to talk about the International Video Game Hall of Fame, two people that were in attendance, and not only in attendance, but I think patron saints of honor. I think that's what they're called in the video game world. The most scoring guy in the Pac-Man, Billy Mitchell, and Walter Day, the keeper of the scores, both on the line. Go!
Hey, Walter, that
means... And they're off. First.
So
go,
it's...
Walter, Walter, oldest first.
Well, well, yeah, that, but
that's a deep
height before beauty, height before beauty. So I think you're about 7 feet taller than me. So why don't you start talking? Actually, you know, Wiggly, what the most interesting story is
yes.
The one that's going on in Ottumwa.
Oh, yes.
The one that's going on in Ottumwa is amazing. Can you imagine a town like Ottumwa, Iowa, that was proclaimed the video game capital of the world back in 1982 by the mayor and by the governor and by Atari and by the Amusement Game Manufacturers Association, which at that time represented Nintendo and Exidy and Universal and Williams and Midway and, you know, Atari. Mm-hmm. They've reconfirmed their status in Ottumwa as the video game capital of the world, and they're now working on developing the official International Video Game Hall of Fame, which will be the cultural crossroads for the whole world of gaming, for the whole planet. I mean, your people who are listening in Australia, they have to be checking their calendar soon or start checking airplane flights someday soon, because they will have to come to Ottumwa to see the birth cradle of organized competitive video game playing, and also the place that will be literally the mecca for video game players from all over the world, in a small town of 26,000 people surrounded by cornfields in Iowa.
Fantastic.
What do you think of that, Wiggly?
I love it. I yell when I love things.
Well, it's simply amazing because, you know, it's the spirit of the town and the spirit of Iowa. It's sort of like Iowa patriotism now. The state and people all over the state are getting behind this because they want this for Iowa, because they see that it will transform the state. It'll change their whole self-image because they will be the crossroads for this most dynamic and most progressive entertainment medium that exists now in the world. The largest entertainment industry in the world is going to have its cultural base in a small town, and it's fashioning itself in a similar way like Cooperstown, except that it will be more involved in Cooperstown, because Cooperstown just has the Hall of Fame, and then whatever peripheral businesses support it, like maybe gift shops and restaurants, or maybe the Mickey Mantle restaurant will be in town or something like that there. But in Ottumwa, they consider themselves the video game capital of the world, so there could eventually be statues of Pac-Man in that town and a Walk of Fame on the sidewalk, all sorts of stuff.
That'd be cool.
Maybe a big video game restaurant similar to a Hard Rock Cafe is for rock and roll memorabilia. There's going to be so much stuff there supporting the big worldwide video game industry by giving it this mecca that everybody can call their home.
Well, as video games definitely penetrate the home market, it's something that I think everybody does now. It's one of the new pastimes, like watching television was back in the 60s and 70s and 50s. And radio, and now video games. So why not? Why not have a Planet Hollywood or something like that? Planet Video Games. Make it happen. Now, Billy Mitchell, now you were there.
Yes, sir, I was there, but I didn't want to interrupt my elder, Walter Day. The fact of the matter is, Ottumwa, this idea was originally born, or it was first heard of back in 1982. And when I heard about it then, I always had a vision that it would someday come true, but it would take so many years. We're sort of like 75 years away from what Cooperstown now is, and I'm sorry, maybe it's not quite that long, but it was back in the 80s that the blood, sweat, and tears were actually laid down and things began to be earned. It gave Twin Galaxies and Ottumwa the right to be called the video game capital of the world. It was the original place where there was organized video game play, where champions traveled to, where the media went to meet them, where they were first observed and declared. There were people that came from all over the country and even other parts of the world, and I don't just mean players, but people who were considered dignitaries in the industry. Politicians came. People came from Europe. I remember picking a gentleman up from the airport who was from Italy. There were calls from ambassadors. There was a call from the White House, and I always knew that the groundwork had been laid. It was just a matter of time before it actually began to blossom. But again, I believe Ottumwa has earned the right to be the video game capital of the world, because there was so much suffrage that went on so long ago, and even suffrage that went unrecognized, that to this day, when you look back on them, that's where it belongs. It deserves the title of video game capital of the world.
Now, Billy Mitchell, may I call you Billy Mitchell?
What else are you going to call me? What kind of question is that?
Well, I just want to make sure. I like to ask that of all my guests. How much time did you spend in Ottumwa?
Well, it was funny. I first went there in November of 1982, and it was in November of 1982 in front of the cameras of Life magazine that I dealt such a crushing blow or crushing defeat to a good friend of mine in the world of video games, and that forever put me in a state of mind that was competitive in the world of video games. I mean, it created an obsession, what I sometimes call a controlled obsession, an obsession to play and to strive and to win and try to be the best. And the truth is, every opportunity I had after that to go to Ottumwa, I did. When there was no school in the summer, I spent the entire summer there. When I finished school, I went there and I found reasons and opportunities to get involved business-wise and open and create businesses that allowed me to travel there and spend more time there. It was basically a love of the area, a love of the people, and it was a passion for what was going on there. So to say that it consumed me would be an understatement.
Very good. Walter, now, when did this go down? When did the big opening happen?
Well, on August 13th, which is a couple Thursdays ago, they had this big launch party at the Bridgeview Center in Ottumwa. And that launch party is, that Bridgeview Center is like the big civic center, the auditorium, an exposition hall for the region. They say that as many as a possible 3,500 people came through in the course of the 9-hour event. Pretty impressive.
Yeah.
I know I was standing out by the sidewalk there unloading something, and a carload of people came from pulled up, and they were from Dubuque, Iowa, which was like 3.5-4 hour drive.
Yeah, it's
then the next car was from Waterloo, which was 3 hour drive. Then the next carload was from Chicago, which was 5.5-6 hour drive. Just went on all day. People came for 6, 7, 8 hours drive from all directions, not to mention even people, two guys came from England. And Fatality came. Fatality and Billy Mitchell, the two most widely known names in the entire video game world, and they were both there shoulder to shoulder in support of this. And Fatality just issued on his website an actual little feature video about his visit to that thing, and he begins it by standing beside the outside, the sign for Ottumwa outside on the edge of town, saying that, and he's looking at the cornfield, saying that someday this will all be developed because this is the future Cooperstown of video game playing, something
right
like that.
Yep.
So there's a tremendous, tremendous groundswell of enthusiasm and support that's growing for Ottumwa being the place that's the crossroads for all this incredible video game culture that's spreading all over the planet.
And where can people find out more about the International Video Game Hall of Fame?
Well, there is a website, videogamehalloffame.org. However, it's being developed right now, so it may not be too much information on there right now.
Okay.
But there's a Facebook page. They can put into Facebook International Video Game Hall of Fame, and they'll find a Facebook page that has hundreds of people on there who are all exchanging information. And it's right now it's the information conduit for anybody who wants to learn more about what's going on. And we're having big master plan meetings where we're talking about what the next step is. And I'm not the official spokesperson for it. I'm just one of the people who is dear to my heart, so I'd love to stand up and talk about it. There are actually people that you would really want to have on the show, even more than us, who are the actual the chairman of the steering committee and some of the other people who are local Ottumwans, the local citizens. Mm-hmm. Find out how devoted they are. Our friends who came from out of state to come to the big launch party, it was a couple of weeks ago, they all remarked afterwards that they were very impressed by the people who were involved in this and who believed in this and who are pushing this. Like people from the local college, people from state government, you know, state representatives, mm-hmm. The governor of Iowa sent someone there to read an official proclamation proclaiming Ottumwa the video game capital of the world again, reconfirming the old proclamation from years ago. There was a congressman from Washington, D.C. who made a speech, and then, of course, lots of champion video game players, stars from all over the place. The Chamber of Commerce, of course, is behind this, and the mayor's office and the city manager's office and all sorts of governmental officials with the county of Wapello, which is the county that is end. So there's county, city, and state government behind this, and lots of merchants and citizens and people from all over Iowa and people from all over the world are enthusiastic about this. And people should make donations. People should send in. In fact, let me tell you, listeners, right now.
Yes.
The people who were the first donors are on the phone with me right now.
Right on.
Billy Mitchell donated the first arcade game. He committed his arcade Donkey Kong that he got the world record on to have it be delivered to the Hall of Fame when it's ready for it.
Right on.
And then you, Wiggly, and Kyle, who's your, I guess we'll call him your producer, you guys gave the first box full of stuff that has some great vintage gaming relics.
Yeah.
And so those have been displayed and looked at by a lot of people already in Ottumwa, and they're looking forward to having a place for that in the Hall of Fame as it opens.
Fantastic. Yeah, we sent a box Sega Master System, game.com, and of course a keyboard. Miracle keyboard, so you can learn how to play the piano with Mario.
Isn't that something?
That's fantastic.
So that's right. So you guys are pioneers.
Right on.
What I found so entertaining, if that's the right word to carry through this, when I was there, was there were people who came up to me when we were first there, April 29th, discussing the idea, and then here at the launch party, there were people who literally, they just passed me in the street, and they recognized me. They came up, and they said hi to me, and they were people that I had met and had become friends with as far back as 1982.
Wow.
And it was really neat. It was really entertaining to have those people just come up and say hi to me, so much to the point that I called people that I was with back in 1982 and handed them the phone so they could have conversations. But I found it even more entertaining that there were people who were there to see what was going on, people from the local community, people that when you look at them, there is no chance that they ever played a video game. None. Zero.
Wow.
You know, when she's 78 years old and she's just there because she wants to know what it is that's going on there for Ottumwa.
Yeah.
That was really interesting.
It's a happening.
That was kind of it was kind of happening. It was really uplifting, and they were very polite. They were just they're part of the community, and that was really, really entertaining.
As is self-evident, we fully support the International Video Game Hall of Fame, and I look forward to heading out there myself. Now, Billy Mitchell, let me just say this. I've had Tommy Tallarico on a show. He holds the record for most music in a video game ever composed. I've had Ralph Baer on, the father of home video game consoles. Nolan Bushnell basically helped propel arcades into the limelight and started Atari. George Gomez, some of the best pins of all time, Monsters Bash and everything. On today's show, I even had Hank Rogers, who brought Tetris to the home consoles and handheld gaming, and David Ackers, of the creator of Klax. But why are you the biggest name to ever be on my show?
I don't know. I guess we'd have to put that out to basically to Walter. I guess as the years went on and I had the good luck and good fortune, because I had to have both, and I began to put scores together and records together, a certain amount of it was sticking. But when Walter put his book out in 1998, it stuck more, but nothing quite stuck like the perfect score on Pac-Man, which was on July 3rd, 1999. Timing is everything in the world. It was at or around the 20th anniversary of Pac-Man. And after 20 years, a video game like a car becomes a classic. The story ran around the world. There was media, there was interviews, there were places and countries and languages that I never knew existed. Every single day, I would get more and more and more news about it. Finally, the phone call came in from Japan. It came in from Masaya Nakamura's office asking me to produce many different things related to Perfect Pac-Man. When I produced them, then they sent me a ticket, an invitation to go there to be on stage at the Tokyo Game Show, not just for Pac-Man, but for all the accomplishments that I had achieved during that time. And a shiny moment for sure was to be standing on stage and be crowned the Video Game Player of the Century. That was truly incredible.
Wow.
And I thought from there things would sort of lay to rest for a bit, but it didn't. That poured on more media. That poured on things like MTV, that many, many different film crews, some of which, simply became part of an archive somewhere, some that were turned into movies, some that were turned into real stories, fun stories, fictional stories. It created a certain personality that to some degree is true and to some degree is a lot of fun, but actually it's all a lot of fun. And I used to say, years ago, that if I get recognized 6 out of 7 days in a week, then that's a slow week. I don't remember the last time I had a 6-day week.
Wow.
It's been a while.
Well, stick with me, kid. No one ever heard of this MTV or Life Magazine. We Talk Games podcast will put Billy Mitchell on the map.
I appreciate that. Now, I'll always remember you. I'll always remember you on the way up and even on the way down, too.
Well, yeah, I will definitely spring to mind on the way down because that's where I sort of hang out. Now, we mentioned earlier that you had people there from Butte, Montana, and that really reminds me of one of my heroes, which is Evel Knievel. And I think you have a little bit of that Evel Knievel in you. I think that it's not just jumping a motorcycle that made Evel famous. There was a lot of other stuff that went along with it. I think that happens in the Billy Mitchell persona that comes across in some of these documentaries and whatnot, like you said, cast in roles.
I'm not familiar with any of those personas. I don't know. I guess I don't watch them too much. I'm too busy leading an extremely normal, boring life.
Now, speaking of hot sauce, do you happen to serve logs? Because I happen to stay away from the animals. I'm more into the potatoes and things like this. But I would love your hot sauce on some of my potato logs.
Are you a vegetarian, Wiggly?
Yeah, I am.
Me too, since 1970.
Very good.
Yeah, there's two vegetarians on the phone.
Yes.
Now he's a vegetarian since 1970, but I was around the last time he fell off the meat wagon.
Uh-oh.
And I was around the last time he fell off the alcohol wagon.
Uh-huh. Now it gets juicy.
He had one glass of wine in New Orleans in 1983.
Well, that's just a grape. Grape juice plus, as they call it.
That's true. No, actually in September of 84 in Raleigh, North Carolina, I had a beer.
Ah.
Yeah, but that wasn't. But Walter, that wasn't documented. That's not a verified sport.
That's right. That's right. Also, it wasn't on tournament settings. It was on factory settings. Yeah. So therefore, it doesn't count really because I wasn't playing for a record. I wasn't drinking for the record.
It looked like there was a video glitch in the one segment there where the beer was about to touch your lips.
Hey, Walter, speaking of records and speaking of challenges and speaking of food, why don't you tell them what happened in Ottumwa? There was another victory that took place at the launch party.
There's a restaurant that's famous there called The Canteen, and it serves sloppy Joe sandwiches.
Just to give you an idea, they were supposed to knock it down to build a parking garage, and they won the lawsuit. And they weren't allowed to knock it down, and they had to build a parking garage over the canteen. But what I did was I got Jonathan Fatality, I got Todd Rogers, I got Steve Sanders, I got Tim McVeigh, and let's see who else. I got Triforce, and I got them all together, and I issued a challenge to them, and I said that I was going to go to the canteen and that I could out-eat anybody. Jonathan Fatality never participated, so he forfeited.
Uh-huh.
So Todd was there, Steve was there, Tim was there, Triforce was there. Those four guys together did not eat as much combined as I ate. I ate 9 canteens, and the four of them together ate 8.
Fantastic, and that is a world record, I guess.
That is a record. Walter, you're supposed to do a story about this.
I don't know where that would get documented, though.
They had the cameras running. And
Well, that's good.
And I only stopped. Why did I stop, Walter? Because who was coming by that I had to go to?
You had to go meet Congressman Loebsack.
Wow.
Yeah, we should have brought him to the canteen and made him eat, too.
Loebsack, you say?
Yeah, that's the name of the guy.
Very good, Loebsack. Very good. Hey, that's nothing wrong with that. Hey, Billy Mitchell, speaking of your giant video game secret project, I think I know what it is. I think you just tipped your hand.
That's good. Maybe you know what it is, and maybe I don't quite know what it is.
Well, it's quite obvious to me. Pac-Man, I was thinking about it the other day, Pac-Man, one of the few video games you could actually play with one hand. The other hand, of course, a pizza-eating contest.
Oh, hamburgers. I'd win that, too, and then people, instead of saying that I was arrogant about my victory, they'd say I was fat and arrogant. So.
Very good. How about some stories from on the road back in the 80s?
Okay, a story from on the road back in the 80s. Okay, here's a real groupie story. We were going from Michigan to Chicago. Walter, what was the name of the town in Michigan?
Grand Rapids.
Okay, close enough. It wasn't Grand Rapids, but we were outside of Grand Rapids, and we were headed to Chicago. Well, we were partway there, and it was like, say, you know, 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and Walter's driving, and he decided he had to stop and rest and meditate and get his act together.
Sure.
So we pulled over in a small town. Well, being in a small town, it was me, Steve, Ben, Tim, and Jay, and we walked into an ice cream parlor that had video games. We walked in, and we basically announced we were the best players in the world, and everybody looked at us funny. So we started playing video games, and we started running scores up. Lo and behold, they got on the phone, they started calling their friends, and suddenly the ice cream parlor was full of people. They're all standing there watching us play video games. We were like showing off. At the time, I was playing Centipede. Well, now it's time to go because the guy wants to close the ice cream place. Well, yeah. Ben took a liking to one of the girls who was there. Ben always took a liking to one of the girls that was there.
Sure.
And so the girl has a car, so we all pile into her car. So it's the two girls and all of us in the car. And I'm in the front seat. And Ben's mad that I'm in the front seat because the girl driving is the girl he likes.
Mm-hmm.
And I says, "Hey, Ben, you want to sit up here?" He says, "Yeah." So I don't get out of the car. I just pile from the front seat to the back seat, and I land on him. Okay, and he's half the size of me, and he manages to worm his way out from under me. He's climbing from the back seat to the front seat, and it was just one of those moments I couldn't resist it. As hard as I could with both feet, I kicked him in the rear end and propelled him forward. Okay, his head went to the windshield.
Oh, no.
He snapped the mirror off the windshield, and he shattered the windshield.
Oh, my goodness.
He looks up, and he sees the windshield, and he looks at the girl driving the car, and he goes, "That was like that, wasn't it?" So we all pile out of the car, and we all tear like hell running for the bus. We leave the girl there at her car. So we all pile in the bus. Just about then, Walter's like sort of done resting and meditate. He goes, "What are you guys doing? Hey, come on, Walt. We gotta get out of here. We gotta get to Chicago. What's going on? You guys are up to something." "No, no, no. We want to go to Chicago. Come on. Park that bus up. Pull this thing out of here." So
wow.
he's trying to start the bus up, and it's running, 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 running. Suddenly behind us, you hear this. The siren goes, lights. Uh-oh. We all go in the back of the bus and scatter. Walter has no idea what's going on. That's it. It's handcuff time.
Wow.
The officer comes up to the bus, and what we didn't know is he didn't know what had happened or anything. He just says to Walter, "Is there something I can help you with?" And Walter says, "Well, we think we're out of gas." And he says, just to show you what a nice small town it was, he goes, "Is the diesel bus?" He says, "Yeah." He goes, "Only one guy in town sells diesel." He says, "Let me call him and wake him up. He'll come give you some diesel fuel." But at the same time that he was doing that, Walter got the bus started, and we pulled out of town, and we made our great escape.
Oh, my gosh. And there's still warrants out, I guess. Why?
Yeah, Walter was always catching flack for us. He was always in trouble because of us, or trying to avoid trouble, or apologizing for trouble. Always. He was like the manager of a rock band and was always getting in trouble.
Yeah, it sounds like Partridge Family gone bad. You're on the tour bus. Mr. Kincaid is trying to keep the kids out of the Partridge kids out of trouble. But I can imagine that. I went across the United States with a caravan full of teenagers, and I could just imagine you and you're on you plural being the type of, you know, related to video games, related to arcades. And let's face it, arcades in the 80s, that was a subculture. That there were certain types of people that hung out at arcades in the 80s, no doubt about it.
And that was a place to be.
That was a hot disco action, no doubt about it. It was a place to be. Black lights, cigarette burns on the machines, and your soda spilled all over it.
It was always fun. It was always fun playing a game that you knew you were going to play for 7 or 8 hours or 10 hours or even 24 hours. Like when I was with Jay, we were at the old Twin Galaxies in Ottumwa, and he had been playing for it all night long. And it was the next morning. He was about at the 24-hour mark. We're standing around watching him as he, you know, continues to chug his way towards a world record. Little girl stands next to us. She's watching us play. She sees him play. She's thinking, it's a cool game. She said, Grandma, I like this. She's watching. She puts her quarter up on the game. And Jay looks at me and he goes, she put her quarter on the game. And I go, I guess she wants to play. She looks at us and she says, that's right. I'm next.
Hope she brought a sleeping bag. Anything else that you want to get across?
Yeah, I got a couple things to say.
Okay.
First of all, I want to congratulate and thank you, Wiggly, and Kyle, your producer, for being like pioneers. You guys stepped up to the plate right behind Billy, and you embraced the International Video Game Hall of Fame, and you sent stuff that was valuable, something that, you know, not everybody could let go, let out of their hands, and you sent it, and you faithfully and contributed to this growing Hall of Fame, and I think that you guys are role models for all these different people who are potentially listening, and I hope that they follow suit and follow your example and start sending things to the International Video Game Hall of Fame in Ottumwa.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You have that same address. I think it's a post office box in Ottumwa, Iowa, and it's connected to the chamber, the Ottumwa Chamber of Commerce, that right now is functioning as the recipient place for any kind of donation. People can donate money, and it's like it's going to be a 501c3 not-for-profit organization, so they could get, you know, some of the tax-exempt state certificate or whatever they call it.
Sure.
For any kind of financial donation, and they can also donate games. Maybe someone has an arcade game they want to send.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people out there have hundreds of games in their collections. So the Hall of Fame needs their help, and they should become part of it, embrace it, and realize that it's their Hall of Fame, too.
Right on. And it's a pleasure to donate. And take that, Wikipedia. That's all I got.
Absolutely. Take that, Wikipedia.
Walter, you know what I can envision possibly happening, and I guess it's good, although it would certainly be challenging, is the word will go out about the idea that you can donate anything and everything video game related to the International Video Game Hall of Fame. But what is it that happened so many years ago when that same thing was put across by you in regards to business cards? You were clobbered.
I think that we can never get enough donations. If we get clobbered by too many donations, that'll just be good for the whole hobby, for the whole industry.
Well, if that does happen with video games, I'll tell you what. I'll drive right down there and I'll pick them up and put them in my collection, because at one time I had to liquidate all my my games so I could eat a sandwich, actually, which is kind of
I went through that.
Yeah,
I went
sure.
I liquidated 150.
Hey, that's it, I guess. Billy Mitchell, I salute your tie. Thank you for joining us on We Talk Games. Walter Day, thank you very much. Thanks, both guys, for being on We Talk Games. Please stop by to tell us about what you've been playing.
We're honored to be on the show with the great Wiggly, and we're glad to be friends with the legendary Kyle.
He is legendary.
And we're looking forward to seeing all you listeners at the International Video Game Hall of Fame next August. We didn't tell you, next August is a big deal.
Okay.
The details are going to be revealed soon.
Okay, very good. Perfect Game of Pac-Man. Billy Mitchell, thank you for joining us today as well.
Game over.
Bye now. Hey, that's it. That wraps it up. Oh, another. Whew. It's too much for me. It's too much. I got to take a break. But instead of taking a break, what we're going to do is we're going to go on the road with this show. Yeah, next month, we're going to try something new. We're going to go on our, as we alluded to earlier, our con tour. hopefully everything will work out. Keith, you think we'll be able to do this from the road next month? He's just shrugging his shoulder in the booth there. That's not very promising. Well, I'll tell you what. Next month, if you hear us on the road, then it all worked.